Welcome to Coaching the Whole Educator, the podcast that helps instructional coaches, teacher leaders, and school leaders. I'm Becca, former educator and school coach turned transformational coach of coaches. I'm on a mission to help you improve your educators' effectiveness and resilience, especially the ones who need it most. Each week, we'll cover quick tips, strategies, and coaching mindsets so that you can be on top of your coaching game. Are you ready? Let's dive in. And now a word from our sponsor. Hey coaches, have you ever wished you could clone yourself to save time? If your answer is yes, the SIDMe platform might be right up your alley. With my own work, I use the SIDMe platform to connect with my coaches and leaders and stay organized when I'm not there. The app is super easy to use, and I love the video feature where teachers can film lessons and coaches and leaders can record video reflections. This app saves me a ton of time and is a game changer in terms of being able to truly connect to my people in between visits when I'm not there. I can even stay organized with the individualized resources section for each person I'm coaching all in one place. And I don't know about you, but I like to try something before I buy it. Because of that, I've gotten SIDMe to let you try the platform for free first to see if it's actually a good fit. If you're interested, go to SIDMe.com/TWE to check it out and claim your free coaching package. That's SIBME.com/TWE. Or click the link in the show notes. Hello, 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 coaches and leaders. I have the fantastic, super smart Chad Ransom on with me, and I wanted to talk with you today about what you do in your life around developing habits and how we coach leaders and coaches to develop habits and even like, why is this important? So first of all, I wanted to welcome you to the show. I'm so happy you're back on with us.
Yeah, always, always glad to be with you. Always glad to have a chance to chat with you.
So before we jump in, I just want you to briefly share what's your journey in education? What do you do now?
Sure. Yeah. So, as most of us, started as a classroom teacher, I moved into being an instructional coach and had that role for seven or eight years before I became a building principal, eventually worked into the district office level. And then I've been lucky enough the last 7 or 8 years to be doing consulting full time. So mostly I do leadership coaching, coaching coaches, that type of work. But the instructional coach role, especially, and then like you mentioned, the connection between the principal and the coach is something that I'm super passionate about and feel like it makes a huge difference in trying to improve schools and learning for kids.
I want to jump into habits here. Why is it important that we learn how to develop habits? What are your thoughts about that?
Sure. I want to try to talk about two different ways that I've been thinking about habits and our work with principals and coaches. At one level, I'm fortunate enough to get to teach a university course to pre-service principals. And it's sort of my way of like trying to help shape, future principals. And we focus so much in that work on what research says about principal practices. Like, what do you do as an instructional leader, for example? And what I really found in my dissertation was there's this whole skill set where habits really plays out that makes the way more of a difference than the practices, because so many principals that I coach can't get to the practices because they struggle with things like time management or having effective communication structures. And so there's this level of personal effectiveness, which I think is really where habits plays out, that I think is essential in this case for principals, but it would be true for teachers or coaches. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of one level that I think about with habits is just like personal effectiveness, habits that make us then better at our job, I think are really important. And the second area is this idea of if we're training people, so coaches or coaches training teachers to make changes in practice, I wonder if we thought about current practice as existing habit, how that might change the way we're trying to support people to change their work. because in one way, when we think about changing practice, we think about it as just like an action. And so, well, if I can show them the right action, and then if I can provide coaching, they'll learn, you know, what the new thing is. And when we think about it as a habit, the research on habits is like, it takes a long time. And these are things that are ingrained, they're subconscious. We don't even think about them many times. And so in our teaching, I think there's a lot of things we do that are just how we are and our own habits. And so I wonder if as coaches and, you know, supporters of teachers, if we thought about our work as changing habit, how that might change what we do.
I love that. I want to add to the why as well. And the neuroscience, something that really gets me and really has me like bought into developing habits is decision fatigue. So we wake up, there's this concept that from the moment we open our eyes, we are making decisions. Do I pick up my phone? Do I not pick up my phone? If I do, what app do I open? If I don't pick up my phone, I'm going to get up. I'm going to brush my teeth first. Am I going to have coffee? Right? What am I going to have for breakfast? So we have all these, you know, what am I going to wear today? So there's all these decisions we're making before we even step out of the door. And everyone listening to this podcast is a busy leader and or coach, right? Period. I know you're all busy, all of you. And so you are making all of these decisions after you made a bunch just getting to work. You are making minute by minute, sometimes second by second decisions, right? Including teachers. And so there's this concept, and it's neuroscience. As the day goes on, we wear out our decision-making abilities, right? They even did research on like judges in a courtroom, right? Like judges make actually better judgments within court cases in the mornings than they do in the afternoons. So what habits do, because they're this like subconscious thing, right? I have a habit of brushing my teeth. I'm not deciding to brush my teeth. It's a habit, right? Which is distinct. And because it's a habit, I don't have to decide. It doesn't wear out my decision-making abilities, right? So to literally have better, higher effectiveness, like you said, and better decision-making ability and just more energy, we want to develop habits instead of just a bunch of separate actions we're deciding to take on a daily basis.
Right. And I think what you're saying there too is much of our life is habit. And we know that like the percentage of time that is actually conscious thought that we're making is much less than I think we would assume it to be. And yet, so because of that, if we're not really careful in thinking about what are our habits getting us, then they'll just keep getting whatever result that we have had in the past. So if we want to change or do better, that's really where you have to start. So targeting the habit is really what's going to get us a different result.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And I want to say this, you know, about developing habits, right? There is this, The Power of Habits book talks about this number that has incorrectly been spread that you only need 21 days of doing something to develop a habit, which is not true. And what they found was there was this triangulated research study where these three different research studies that somehow found this number would just, they're self-referential. They're just referring to each other and they never like did outside studies. And in it, anyway, it is incorrect. The 21 day habit number, developing a habit number is not correct. And what they actually found is it's widely ranging. Some people it takes 900 days. Some people it takes 60, right? And so there isn't one number. So I really wanted to also establish that when we're developing habits, there's not some magic number.
Right.
So question for you, as you've been coaching leaders and coaches around habits, what ineffective habits, I know I certainly have seen some ineffective, what ineffective habits have you seen people doing subconsciously throughout their day that actually makes their job harder. Let's say it that way.
Yeah. I would say broadly what comes to mind with that question is things that make us maybe not as efficient with our time.
Yeah. Yep.
And I do often think about the connection between efficiency and effectiveness. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's this like false dichotomy that like, oh, you know, if you're overly efficient, you might not be effective, or, you know, vice versa. Mm-hmm. When in actuality, if you're not at least minimally efficient, you can't be effective. Like you just, you're not going to have the time to be able to do that work. So, in work with principals, if something that is costing us a ton of time is, and then being really ineffective, is our inability to communicate to various stakeholder groups in an efficient manner, it would be really hard to structure like a personal habit. Like I'm going to change the trigger in my mind and I'm going to do something different, but I could set up a system, right? Like I could have like a form that I input information and it stores it for me for the various stakeholder groups I have to talk about. So systems, I think, are another really important piece.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. Yeah. Something, you know, it's interesting when you're talking about like not doing it once, like, oh, I forgot something, just a little piece of research. Kelly McGonigal researches willpower. Mm-hmm. And she talks about, and I think that actually, I think willpower and decision fatigue and habits actually go very much hand in hand. The more habits we have, the less willpower we have to have inherently. Isn't that amazing? But her one of the studies she did was they studied people that were on a diet and they had them all break their diet and they all made them eat a donut and chug a gallon of water, which made them very uncomfortable. And half of them, they sent them home and said, okay, good luck on your diet. And the other half, they said, listen, we know you broke your diet. Everyone falls off the horse at some point. We just ask that you forgive yourself, get back on the horse, mm-hmm. you know, and keep on riding. And then they sent them off and they tracked their progress throughout their diet, the rest of their diet. And the folks that were asked to forgive themselves were far more successful.
Yeah. Yeah. You almost have to expect that mm-hmm. you will fall off the horse, or whatever metaphor people want to use about that. And so if you go into it knowing that, you know, my goal is to always do this thing, great. But I also know I'm not going to always do this thing. And mm-hmm. and in fact, I just was actually listening to James Clear, and he was talking about how not only do you have to expect it, but it's really about how quickly you like get back to whatever you're trying to do. So like, great, you ate really crappy food one time. Well, don't dwell on it. Just like right away, try to get back to whatever you're doing. And then you're much more likely to build that habit over time instead of, which is what many of us probably do. And that is, well, dang it, I didn't do it again, or I messed up again. And now that makes you mess up again. And then that makes, so it's actually that thing that makes you continue to not move forward with the direction you're trying to go.
Another thing when we don't make our habit or don't do our habit, right, is to look at the obstacle, like what obstacle was in our way that kept us from doing it. And actually, I think a really great habit, and I talk about this in the previous episode on New Year's resolutions and why we are not good at keeping our New Year's resolutions. We want to actually anticipate the obstacles, right? So I'm developing a new habit, and what are the obstacles that are going to keep me from keeping this habit? Creating a habit, right?
So yeah, how do you proactively remove barriers, and how do you proactively put in place things that will help you?
Yeah, I'm thinking about, I know I've coached coaches and leaders around this. They'll say things like, I want to get into classrooms more, mm-hmm. or they feel like bogged up, right? And so, you know, look at their habits. Well, when you come into school, the first thing you do is open your email and get sucked into the email black hole, right? Well, that's a habit that you have. We could change that habit.
Totally. Yeah, that's a great example of sometimes we'll get caught up in like, I want to get into classes and it's not happening. And we don't actually analyze why it's not mm-hmm. happening. Because yep. we don't view the like answering of emails as what's actually getting in the way of us, mm-hmm. you know, getting into classrooms. And I think that's really insightful for people to think about. How do you reflect on that piece to identify those barriers?
Yeah. And we all, I think as leaders, we set goals, right? We all have goals where there's places we want to improve. Everyone that's listening is like go-getters, right? You're listening to a podcast to get better. Here we are, right? Is there anything else, Chad, that you want to leave the listeners with around developing habits?
You know, the only thing that I might add is, and it's connected to what you were just saying, and that is because we are people that are trying to get better, we want to make a difference in kids' lives or schools or whatever we do often have goals. Like we tend to be people that are goal setters. And you said in there, if you have a goal, one of the things you should think about is either what are the habits that you have that are getting in the way of that, or what are the habits that you need to make that goal happen? And I don't think we always do that. Like sometimes we set goals and then we're like, okay, here's some milestones, or, you know, I need to do these four tasks to make that happen or whatever. And we actually don't think about it in terms of what's the daily habit that I need to do in order to get to that goal. So even just reinforcing the importance of habits to accomplish goals, I think is really important.
Sure. And I just remembered there's one more habit strategy that I want to share because this has been life-changing for me. And it's called habit stacking, or I learned there's different phrases for this concept. James Clear calls it habit stacking. And it's this, I think it's ingenious. I really do. It's where you stack on, you attach a new habit to an already established habit. So I drink coffee every morning. I had to start taking medicine, about a year ago, in the morning. And so I put my medicine on my coffee maker. Like I can't make coffee unless I take my medicine. And so it is, you know, that's my habit stacking. I know to take my medicine because it's on my coffee maker. Right. Do you have any habits that you stacked?
Oh, I love this idea because I agree with you. I think this is super powerful, right? I mean, it's like we tell people to build off of people's strengths all the time. Like we coach, mm-hmm. Well, hopefully we're coaching from like a strengths-based lens. That's actually what we're doing, even though maybe we're not thinking about it. You know, so like if a teacher is really good at unpacking learning targets with kids, mm-hmm. and they want to work on, you know, increasing academic vocabulary, rather than doing that somewhere else in their lesson, let's start doing vocabulary when they're unpacking their learning target, right? So I would be stacking that mm-hmm. habit on.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And thanks for giving the classroom example, right? We're looking at how can we take teachers' already established habits and stack on a desirable change in the classroom. We want to empower you to create sustainable change and not just, you know, moment by moment change that doesn't stick.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thank you so much, Chad, for being on the show. This is a fantastic episode. We'll put some of those resources that we mentioned in the show notes. And Chad, where can folks find you if they want to learn more about what you do?
Sure. Our company, our consulting company is Compass Advantage, ED, like educational advantage, but compassadvantage.com. And that you can, you know, all my contact information is on there and the work that we do.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
And if you're interested in additional professional development in developing your habits, feel free to reach out to us. We have habits integrated fluidly throughout our whole educator academy. We just completed one of our academies very recently with a group of incredible leaders, and they reported how they developed habits throughout their own teams fluidly. They created the habits. They figured out where the habits needed to be changed or even just started. And it's so powerful to have this work integrated into our schools and teams. So feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to have a chat. And until next time, just remember, don't treat people the way you want to be treated. Treat them how they want to be treated. Take care.